popular demand.
The NBL One West Radio Show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West. The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West Radio Show.
All your local basketball action. Brett Costello with you for the NBL One West Radio Show. And joined once again, my partner in crime this week, Jordan Scardetta. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you, Brett. Nice to be back as always. And the voice is a little bit lower and raspier this week than it has been in others because I've been very, very busy watching a lot of basketball over the last 7 days.
And not only a lot of basketball, you have had some seriously frenetic finishes in your calls as well, but starting with being up at Joondalup on the Friday night.
Yeah, that was crazy. We were joking off air, myself and the co-caller that I had, Glenn, on Friday, you know, off air and between games, sort of saying that, you know, imagine if the men's game is like, you know, anywhere near what that women's game was like. It'd be just crazy. I don't know that I could last that long. You know, I've been calling under 16s, national championship stuff all week. I reckon my voice would just blow out. And sure enough, it ends up being the game of the week. It was crazy, crazy night on Friday night. And I'm very glad that was the KO Freebies game of the week, and you know, to the broader audience, because it was not only the finishes, but both of those games were such high quality games between two very good teams in both of those competitions. I think the sixth place that Rockingham Flames have in the women's belies how good they are, and they did all of that without Patricia Brosman on the court. They were outstanding. It was a phenomenal night, and yeah. And my voice has just started to recover. Just
well, let's be honest, they did everything to win that game, bar win it, and the Wolves just got over in that last sort of minute or so.
Yeah, like Taylor Ortlieb shot the lights out in that game. It was crazy. They all stepped up in the average. Chris Bogue, you look at her stat line, and it doesn't scream, you know, standout game. Her defensive job on Tage Morrell was unbelievable. Unbelievable how good she was. You know, after she missed last week as well, Chris Boke, I don't know whether she's nursing an injury of some sort or whether it was another reason for unavailability, but comes back into the team and is just a monster on the defensive end. Was so good. And Tage Morrell is MVP candidate at the moment for that Joondalup Wolves lineup. And she was shut out of that game pretty much completely for 35 minutes of it. It was just insane how good Chris Bogue was.
Jonathan Wade, we'll speak with him a little bit later on in the show. Of course, hitting that half-court game winner, he's going to step us through what was going through his mind at that time. Look, both teams probably would have been satisfied enough to go into overtime after that sort of arm wrestle, but what a way to finish, and what a celebration out there at HBF Arena.
Yeah, crazy, wasn't it? You never expect the half-court winner to be hit, and Jonathan Wade did it, and then the pile-on that happened immediately afterwards, where they all sort of, you know, did the dog pile on top of poor Jonathan Wade at the bottom of it, everyone streaming off the bench. But then, you know, the corporate area that's right there, the little lounge that they have at Joondalup on that side, they all start getting involved as well. And, you know, after everyone's really energetic after the frantic finish in the women's game, yeah, it was a remarkable night at HBF Arena.
We'll chat to Jonathan Wade. We've got Tevin Jackson joining us from the Perth Redbacks as well. And Tyrone Thwaites will chip in on behalf of the women's side there at the Coburn Cougars, of course. Looking forward to those chats.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Tyrone's a pretty straight shooter with how things are going. He's got his finger in every single pie at Coburn. So, yeah, looking forward to listening to that chat.
Well, we're 13 rounds down, just 5 to go. We'll be back after this to review the round that was round 13 here at the NBL One West Radio Show.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au.
Let's get this thing started.
The all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
It's your favourite NBL One West players' favourite radio show. Brett and Jordan with you for the NBL One West Radio Show. Taking a look at round 13 action. We already touched on plenty of stuff up there at Joondalup on the Friday night. Then the Rockingham Flames, after going down twice on the Friday, returned to the comforts of home and were able to get themselves a handy win there in the men's, at least anyway, over the Warwick Senators.
Yeah, that's a very handy one for them. As when you look at the flip side of those kind of results where, you know, the player hits the half court and it's the spectacular, you know, jubilation at home, sometimes you do forget to think about the team that's on the other side. You never think about the team that loses. And that was sort of the Flames. You know, you wonder how their psyche was after playing a great game, a really gritty, you know, physical game against Joondalup, and one of the toughest trips. HBF Arena is like a cauldron up there. And I know that Rockingham have their own cauldron at Mike Barnett, and they certainly use that on Saturday night, because yeah, that's a big win over a team that's competing with you for a top four spot. You know, it helps them keep their distance from Warwick and make sure that, all right, we're separating ourselves into a top three. And you know, with Geraldton stumbling a little on the weekend, you know, the Buccaneers losing their second game of the season to the Redbacks, they just feel like there's a window there to, you know, finish top two. That top two, both of those spots are still up for grabs, even after Geraldton's incredible start to the season. So that's a key victory for them to keep them in their top two aspirations and to give themselves some distance from the chasing pack.
I'd wondered whether the Senators might unleash Majuk in that game, given the sort of marquee matchup with Tom Jervis around that one, but they've held him back and looks like he may play this weekend, however.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see, I guess. Obviously, you know, dressed for the game but didn't play. I don't know whether there's some sort of fitness or injury concern or whether, you know, they don't feel he's quite ready to take part, because obviously as soon as he's ready, he's going to be a huge impact player for Warwick. And interesting, you're right. Given the opposition and given that Tom Jervis is such a dynamic, dominant sort of player, you know, that they didn't bring him in for that matchup, because that seemed, you know, to be an area where they could at least even out that part of the game and then let, you know, the outside shooters do the talking.
Unfortunately, they couldn't get it done in the women's fixture. The Senators getting up 94-79 over the Flames there on the Saturday night. And that keeps alive Ben Pether's prediction of the Senators not losing again in season 2022 in the women's.
Yeah, that's a big prediction. Bold prediction. He made a little while ago. And look, it's working out for him, 12-2. And they're up into second position now, you're right. And feels like a bit the race in three in the women's. But, you know, Warwick are maybe just giving themselves some separation now. You know, they're showing their class at this point, and it's, you know, that's a big win for them. You know, and Rockingham, I did say that the 8-6 kind of belies them a little bit. They're going to rue what happened on Friday night, because they led by 14 in the third quarter and 11 in the last, 11 inside the last 5 minutes, and they weren't able to quite get the job done. And I think that'll sting a lot, because that could very much be the difference between, you know, finishing sixth or seventh and potentially finishing fourth. You know, that's how tight that race is. Mandra's a little bit ahead now, but you feel like, you know, if you ride that wave potentially into Saturday night, and you know, you might get that second win on the trot, and you know, things could turn out very differently. Especially, you know, this week they get Paddy Brossman back, you know, and she'll be able to take her place in the team, and maybe things are a little different. But yeah, squandering in a winning position like that is not ideal, and then, you know, losing to a team you're battling for a top four position with doesn't help either.
It was, of course, First Nations round right across the NBL One nationwide, in fact, and the NBL One West went on a bit of a roadshow down to Esperance as well. A couple of feature games down there between the Giants and the Slammers.
Yeah, absolutely, and look, an absolute beauty in the men's contest on Saturday night, and they were pushed right to the limit, the Giants, in their makeshift home down in Esperance, and look, it's great to see the Slammers, you know, really taking it to teams at the moment. And, you know, a huge night for Boy Touch, who had 28 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists as well. I think Thomas Edwards as well had a big night, a double-double, 21-12. So great to see, you know, there's contributions coming from across their starting five, all of them in double digits, and they're putting up some really competitive performances, because it's, I guess, the easy thing to do for teams in losing seasons and tough situations like that is to maybe, you know, especially a big road trip to Esperance. Bunbury to Esperance is a long way. You know, that's a long road trip, and it'd be easy to throw in the towel in those sort of games and just, you know, put the hands up, it's all too hard. But, you know, they get on the road, they get together as a squad, and they really take it up to a team who's looking like they're going to push for a top four finish. You know, that's an excellent performance from a team that's sitting on the bottom of the ladder, and, you know, that's really a promising way to continue their season.
Final point from the weekend was that amazing wildcard series that sees the local teams playing off against the centre of excellence. For those who are not down with that concept, and I have answered a few questions about this as I've been moving around the stadiums, essentially just a points differential system. Whoever can smash them by the most can basically get through to that national final. And Logan Thunder at the moment have the best record with a 25-point victory. But the Hawks certainly held their own and a handy 10-point win to essentially put them in second placing on that ladder.
Yeah, that's right. So they're in the what I guess is being classed as a reserve spot at the moment. You know, Logan's on top. Obviously, there's a lot of you know, parameters that have to be met for them to get there. They have to make finals in their conference, which at the moment they're sitting in fifth with an 8-4 record. They do have a few games in hand on all of the teams around them. So, you know, they're in pretty good stead at the moment, 8-4. But, you know, as far as games that they've actually won, yeah, they've got the games in hand, but they have to win them. They're only one win ahead of ninth place. So, you know, if they do manage to, for whatever reason, drop those games, those three extra games, then all of a sudden it allows, you know, Perry Lakes Hawks in with a bit of a sniff. Okay, yeah, they've got some issues of their own as far as making finals over here goes, but, you know, if they can sneak in and you know, make sure they lock up a spot in that bottom half of the top eight, which it looks like is going to be their ceiling for this season, you know, that opens up the opportunity for them if they're in that reserve spot. Conversely, if, you know, Logan win all those four games and go on a winning run and win the NBL 1 North Championship, they're in the box seat at the moment, even though the Centre of Excellence have some games remaining. They're in the box seat as it stands to, you know, to slide into that extra slot if they don't go on and win the championship themselves. So they did a good job of it. Chatting to Matt Parsons before the game, he said, you know, going in with the full lineup was very much aimed at getting a winning feeling around, because we can touch on in a moment in the And One and Fouled Out what happened on Friday night to the Perry Lakes Hawks. And you know, he just said he needs to get a winning feeling around that group, and that's why he played, you know, all the starters, because we saw with Rockingham and Lakeside in particular that, you know, they rested key guys, and, you know, it wasn't, you know, they had their reasons for doing that. Obviously, second night of back-to-backs, those kind of things. And, you know, it was the different philosophy that you can take into these games is how much energy and effort do you expend on them. And, you know, Perry Lakes decide, yep, they're going to go in all guns blazing trying to win it. And they did just that. Note to touch on for the Centre of Excellence side is Ethan Elliott. You really hope he's all right. Looks to suffer a really serious ankle injury during that game. And they play with a shortened bench as it is. You know, they travelled with nine guys to WA and were able to get three out of four wins that side with nine guys when, you know, the opposition are playing with 12. You know, it's a big difference. So that's a huge blow for them. He runs their offence and is a big point scorer for them as well, and does some great work on the perimeter defensively. So you really hope Warwick Senators Jr. That he's all right.
It was certainly great to see some of the West Australian guys playing in that game as well. Four representatives from WA in that team. Now, before we break to speak to Tevin Jackson from the Perth Redbacks, you alluded to it earlier, the world famous Jordan Scardetta and won and fouled out. What have you got for us?
Yeah, the and one this week was really hard. There was a lot. There was a lot this week. The ones that got close, Lanisha Patton got close, the game tying two in their game against the Flames. Jonathan Wade, obviously, you know, his big 3-point shot, which was just remarkable. But you know, and even the Perth Redbacks as a whole, you know, doing something that most other teams in this league haven't done this year, and beating the Geraldton Buccaneers. You know, that's one that could be worthy.
All
of
noteworthy, definitely.
But I had to. It was irresistible to give it to Carter Skaggs. 12 for 14 shooting from three. Are you kidding me? That is insane. I've never seen anything like it. And you know, he single-handedly handed defeat to the Perry Lakes Hawks. And, you know, again, chatting to Matt Parsons, how do you defend that? You know, hitting them contested, hitting them open, hitting them from deep. You know, it just absolutely everywhere. And, you know, you'll hear from Ty Thwaite soon about how Carter Skaggs just hones his craft and hones that shot, and you can see that he does that. It's a remarkable performance.
I also feel like, and don't quote me on this 100%, but I watched the stream, I feel like he missed his first two threes. I'm pretty sure that he was 12 straight after that.
That in itself is ridiculous as well. But yeah, he gets my and one for this week. My fouled out, I'm not laying blame at the feet of the club that's fouled out here, but it's the Rockingham Flames, and I feel this is more of damn it, we should have won these games. Because it's not only the women's team that we touched on had the lead and couldn't hold on late and, you know, nearly knocked off Goliath. You know, they nearly beat the unbeaten team. They were, you know, 10 seconds away from beating the unbeaten team. The men's team obviously gets beaten by the half-court shot. It's not only that, it's the second time in 12 months that that's happened. And now I have to credit Adam Bowler from Basketball WA with telling me this, because I was chatting away with him, said, "Oh, you just never see that shot hit. You know, you see it at 10. You never." He's like, "We saw it a year ago. And it was against the Rockingham Flames. It was the Geraldton Buccaneers, Matt Wunderberg." And I was like, "Of course it was." So my foul out isn't laying blame. It's just a bit of, "Oh, damn, how did this happen again to the Rockingham Flames? They get beaten by a half-court buzzer beater." And, I mean, the last one was three-quarter court, so it had an even higher degree of difficulty. But they get beaten by a long-range buzzer beater twice in 12 months. What are the odds that that's going to happen? So my foul out's the Rockingham Flames. None of that is their fault.
Fantastic. Love it. Jordan Scardetta there. We'll be back on the other side of this to speak with Tevin Jackson from the Perth Redbacks on the NBL One West radio show.
Your health and welfare are important. At SKG Radiology, we know this. Take advantage of bulk billing all Medicare rebatable services across our WA practices. Some exceptions may apply, so please ask our friendly staff for more details. From x-rays to ultrasounds, low-dose CT scans and MRIs, no matter where you're referred to, when you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology. Visit skg.com.au.
All the local basketball action, roundups and reviews from the NBL One West. The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West radio show.
Welcome along, Brett Costello and Jordan Scardetta in the seat again this week. And now on the line, we're joined with Tevin Jackson from the Perth Redbacks after a couple of massive wins on the weekend. Welcome along to the show.
Appreciate you guys having me.
Now, we had to get somebody from the Redbacks on after knocking off the Geraldton Buccaneers on the weekend, which is no mean feat. Congratulations on that one initially.
Yeah, thank you. It was a good achievement for the team, and I'm excited to see where we can sort of branch off from here and see how far we can go.
Noted from the box scores, Geraldton were missing Mariang Mo in that game, but you guys were also missing your captain, Joel Wagner, in that game. What's happening with him at the moment?
So a bit of a calf issue with him. I'm not sure the actual specifics of it, but I think it happened during the Rockingham game, early in the Rockingham game, the week prior. So, yeah, he missed all of Tuesday and Thursday training and stuck around. Like, he's, you know, the type of guy to sort of kick around the group and maintain his, you know, image within the club and be real vocal and positive around the guys. So he was there Tuesday and he was there Thursday, and you know, it's a massive blow for us in not having him on the court. But I mean, we're not missing him off the court. He's definitely speaking up, and he's, I think Jeremy and myself have sort of stepped up in regards to handling the ball and helping the team, you know, be as successful as possible, as if Joel was out there. So Yeah,
he's such a big distributor that he's obviously leaves a huge hole, and I can see that everyone's assist numbers were up in the starting five from the weekend, especially on Saturday night. Tevin, it's obviously the team made a preliminary final last year, made some noise in that preliminary final, and you know, look for parts of it like you were just, you know, a couple of bounces away from playing off for a championship, and then you come in this year. And it was a bit of, I guess, an indifferent start to the year. You know, you've had guys who've been missing from the lineup. You know, you had to wait a while to get Zach Katorna back. You know, Lewis Timms had an interrupted start to the year. You got a couple of wins on the weekend, as we said. Do you feel like it's all starting to click into place, and that even though you're sitting outside the eight, you feel like you can make a real charge for finals?
Going off like the start of the year, like we were never, and even up to now, we've never really been consistent with the group that we've had on the floor, and that's ranging from the coaching staff to, you know, to the eighth, ninth, tenth guy. And yeah, like you said, like COVID, there's been players in and out with COVID, a little bit inconsistent. So and probably only like a handful of games have been played by, you know, the full team, like the full squad. So we've only been full strength probably a handful of times, and that's going to be tough. You know, I mean, I'm glad that it's sort of kicking in now when we're clicking. And in regards to last year, like we were probably about a quarter away from playing in the finals. You know, it kind of sucks that it was like a back-to-back preliminary final where you play a really energetic Willetton Tigers team on a Friday night, and then try and back it up against a really energetic, you know, Perry Lakes Hawks team the night after, who moved the ball really well. And I think that was, you know, a little bit, we caught the short end of the stick with that one, but I guess you got to roll with the punches and you know, it is what it is. So we were, yeah, right there on the brink of playing in that final against Rockingham last year. And I felt like we had the team to do it last year. And, you know, if I'm being completely honest with you now, I know we have the team to do it this year. It's just whether or not we click, you know, at the right time with the squad that we have. So, you know, I'm holding my head high. Lots of up and downs already this season, and we'll see what happens. So, yeah.
And I feel like upper management kind of agrees with your assessment there, that you feel like you've got the roster to do it, because obviously it's rare you see it at this level, but a mid-year coaching change was made and Mark Edmonds taken over for you on game night as the head coach. Two-part question. How did the change impact the playing group when it first happened, and what's the change been like now that you've experienced a few games under him on the court?
It was a massive hiccup. For myself personally, for my brother, I know, bit of a hiccup, but I guess it's the nature of the business. And yeah, I think eventually, you know, we all sort of got over it, and we just, I guess we just went along with it, and you know, we had a win the first week after the coaching change, and yeah, like that was awesome for the boys to sort of, you know, get a win after all that's been happening, and some massive things happened off the court in people's personal lives that really took effect, took a toll on people, and took a massive toll on the playing group. And so for us to get a win the week after was awesome for the boys. I mean, it's been a little bit rough since then. We had 3 losses, I think. But then, yeah, 2 after that. So 2 this weekend, which was massive for the group. And just in regards to Edo, Mark Edmond, like, he's always been very vocal, he's a very good communicator. He's going to call it how he sees it. And you know, that's obviously what you need in a coach. And if I'm being honest, that's what CJ had as well. You know, my unbiased opinion, I think he had that quality as well. He's going to call it how he sees it. With Mark Edmond, like, great coach, great guy on and off the court. He's not going to sit there and tell you that he knows everything. He's able to stand corrected if need be. And I think that's where sort of Joel sort of can step in. You know, a lot of the, a little bit, you know, the experienced guys can sort of, you know, step in and be like, okay, maybe we can make this change, make that change. And he's more than happy for that to happen. So he's taken the role on, he's grabbed the bull by the horns, and he's done a great job so far. So, yeah.
I imagine that the message from CJ, from Dad, in all of that turmoil that would have been going on during that time was very much to you boys, just to get out there and play, just get on with the job. Was that his message? And what did you take away from that turmoil to try and turn it into a positive for the rest of the season?
Yeah, I mean, that's always been what he preaches. For us to just go out there and play and be ourselves, what he probably envisioned us. How, you know, the lineups that we had, seeing us not perform the way he probably envisioned was pretty frustrating for him. And, you know, I share that same opinion. So that's always been his message, you know, and that was the same message that he had for Edo, was to, you know, definitely, like, step up and lead us. And then for us, the playing group, to just continue to play. To my brother and myself, you know, obviously he emphasized it, and like, I'm always going to take his word. So, you know, whatever advice he can give me, whatever it is, you know, I just take it on the head and roll with it. So it's always been his motto. It's always been his message. It's just to go out there and play, and play to the best of your ability. So, yeah, when he sent that text message through this weekend, like, you know, and obviously with the First Nations around, it sort of, that's massive for me, in particular, just because, like, hearing your dad, you know, sort of with words of wisdom and with encouragement, words of encouragement is always massive.
Looking towards the next weekend, you seem to have the Joondalup Wolves, who are also coming off a pretty big weekend of their own, set to be a cracking match up there on Friday night, a home game for you guys, it looks like.
Yeah, it should be a great game to watch. It'll be a war, like, for sure. They're a physical team. They're a talented team. They have, you know, they can match up well with other teams. They had a massive win over the weekend. The way it finished was crazy. But I know it's going to be a high quality basketball game that, you know, I'm looking forward to being a part of with, you know, the coverage that's been happening with the NBL One. I'm sure, you know, fans are going to have a really, really good night watching that matchup.
In fact, we're due to chat with Jonathan Wade from the Wolves a little bit later on in the show after that half-court buzzer beater that you alluded to. So, yeah, a great win for those guys. It's set to be a cracking game coming off the back of your couple of wins last weekend as well. Tevin Jackson from the Perth Redbacks, we really thank you for your time and your chat and insights into life at the Redbacks in recent months.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks again.
The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West radio show. When you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology, providing bulk billed Medicare rebatable services at all 20 locations.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
This is the all-new NBL One West radio show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West. Check the NBL One West radio show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic.
Welcome back, NBL One West radio show. All your local basketball action from the NBL One West. And round 14 is coming up this weekend. You can see all of the fixtures over at nbl1.com.au or through the brand new NBL One app. The latter leading Geraldton Buccaneers travel down to Perth for a double header in the men's.
Yeah, and that's going to be a big one for a couple of reasons. They take on Perry Lakes on Saturday, and that's a big matchup for the Perry Lakes Hawks. It's going to be the second night of a back-to-back for them. They travel down to Rockingham Friday and then Geraldton Saturday. So a tough back-to-back as well. You know, two of the top three teams in the league. And they're hanging on to their eighth position by a thread at the moment. You know, they're equal on wins with the Perth Redbacks, who've just come off back-to-back wins on the weekend. You know, they need to take at least one of these two games with them on the weekend, because otherwise that grip becomes a lot more tenuous as, you know, as the games roll on. And this is their game in hand as well. The only reason they're sitting inside the top eight is because they have a game in hand. You know, their percentage is worse, so they need to bank a win in one of these games.
And the Flames have got a bit of a score to settle with them as well.
Absolutely,
really, haven't they?
After their matchup at Bendat Basketball Centre, which was one of the games of the year. It was an excellent matchup between those two teams. And you're right, score to settle back at Mike Barnett. They love being at home at the Hothouse. So, yeah, and then Geraldton on Saturday at Bendat should be a beauty as well. And then Geraldton back it up with a trip to HBF Arena.
Looking forward to that Sunday matchup.
That's going to be a beauty. As it stands at the moment, 1-2 in the standings. And it doesn't get better than that. Geraldton, you know, they're going to have some question marks over their side now because they had a loss to the Redbacks and then were pushed all the way by the Kalamunda Eastern Suns. You know, two teams outside the top eight. One has defeated them, the other one's pushed them all the way. So they're going to have some questions asked internally this week, probably. And they'll come to Perth with a point to prove. And look, coming up against a really physical Joondalup side on the second night of back-to-back. Joondalup play two games as well, but their game's on Friday night. You know, they've got that night's rest, so can make a huge difference. That should be a brilliant one on Sunday afternoon.
Obviously, the Buccaneers struggling a bit on the weekend, dropping one and getting the second win just by single figures. Without Matiang Mo, who we understand has been playing with South Sudan across the last weekend, not sure whether he'll be back in time for this weekend, and he can be a bit of a deal-breaker, a bit of a game-breaker for them, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely, and look, that makes a huge difference if he is available back for the Buccaneers, but I guess time will tell, and I guess that's why you build your rosters the way you do. You want to be able to lean on your depth when the time comes, and they'll hope to be able to cover that absence if he's not available.
Taking a pivot now towards the women's, what's catching your eyes this weekend?
Well, there's a couple of matchups that I can see that are really enticing on the cards. Friday night, both of these ones, so they're going to be conflicting times, so you're going to have to watch one and then just go back and rewatch the other one. Or flick between them, you know, you can channel flick, screen in screen, you know, however you want to do it. Rockingham, Perry Lakes, because I feel like for the Perry Lakes Hawks women's, this is almost last chance saloon.
Do or die.
Yep, it is, and every game might feel like that from now on, but they've dropped outside the top eight now, and you feel like every game for them is do or die. And Rockingham, they have designs on being a top four team. You know, they're currently sixth at the moment after a couple of heartbreaking losses. Mm. You know, this would be a huge matchup for them. If they had to drop this one, then all of a sudden they come back into that mix of, you know, on the edge of, you know, whether they make, you know, not necessarily make finals, but whether they drop into those bottom two slots in the top eight, those seventh and eighth, where you're on the road potentially for the entirety of your final series. So, you know, that's one I'm keeping an eye on Friday night. But on the flip side of it, the other one, I'm lucky to get to call this one on Friday night, Gwillerton versus Warwick. Second versus third in the women's standings. Warwick, as Ben Pether has called, is looking like a team that might not get beaten, might not be able to be beaten the rest of this year. They are an outstanding lineup, and every time I've seen them, I've been so incredibly impressed by them. And Willerton, I haven't seen them this year live. I haven't actually had a chance to watch them live, so I'm looking forward to what they bring. I saw them a lot last year, haven't seen them as much this year, and you know they brought back a very similar lineup to the championship winning lineup from last year. I'm so interested to see what this game brings, because it could be the separation, and you know this is a potential qualifying final preview as well. You know, this is a game that could separate who's going to finish top two and who's going to finish third or fourth, because the margins are that slim at the top at the moment.
We're not far away from talking to Jonathan Wade from the Joondalup Wolves. We'll still be chatting with Tyrone Thwaites, the head coach of the Coburn Cougars women, before too long here on the NBL One West Radio Show.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au.
Let's get this thing started.
The all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
Brett and Jordan with you, NBL One West Radio Show, all of your local basketball action. And on the line, as we've promised you, we've got the weekend game-winning shot maker from the Joondalup Wolves, Jonathan Wade. Welcome along to the show.
What's going on, my guys? Glad to be on. How y'all doing?
Yeah, excellent. Now, you know that we had to talk to you after that. I'm going to ask you, though, how many game winners have you made in your career? Because it's not all that common. And then, have you made any from half court before? Because that was amazing.
So, I've made a couple, man. But this one was special. I'll have to say this one was the best one I've ever made. Never made one from half court. But it's funny, like, the crazy thing is, I used to, in Europe, always practice half court shot after practice. We'd go like first to three, and it's crazy how just kind of the work just paid off, man. And it's a crazy feeling. It still feels like a dream.
So I guess you're telling us that's not a fluke shot for you. That's a semi-regulation shot.
No, man, I would say it's fluke, like, because it felt good, man, because once I got the rebound, I think it was one of the players, I think it was Ryan Godfrey. Godfrey stepped up on me. I went between the legs, and I had like maybe 2 seconds left. I took a dribble with my left, and I was like, I feel like I can make this. So I was about to pass it to CJ, but I went straight up, and I just shot it like it was like a long three. And it felt really good coming off. I'm like, in my mind, when I'm getting ready to fall down, I'm like, man, that might go in. And I'm like, oh, I keep holding my follow through, and then it goes through, and then it just goes crazy from there, man. I think I blacked out. Like, my teammates jumped on me. It was a crazy feeling, man. It felt like I won the lottery or something, bro. It was crazy.
We appreciate you painting that picture and giving the recount. For anyone who doesn't know what we're talking about, the game against the Rockingham Flames on the weekend, Marshall Nelson probably played that reasonably well. He's taken his shot with only 4 or 5 seconds left, just enough time to maybe get an offensive rebound if needed. Didn't really leave you any time to run the length of the floor, and hence why you were having to pull up from half court and really net what was a very difficult shot in the end.
Jordy went up for the rebound, missed it, and I grabbed it. I made my move, and I took the shot, man, and I'm so thankful that it went in. It's crazy.
Well, Jordan was on the live call for your game, so I'm sure he's got some insights and some questions for you as well.
Yeah, so the thing I want to probably go back to before the shot, and even before the game, because the women's game was an insane finish as well. It was an absolutely crazy finish to that game. And like, how much are you aware of that when you're in the change rooms, like getting ready, and how much do you feed off that energy that's in the building when you're playing at home, and you know your women's team that's playing before you wins it with less than 3 seconds on the clock? Like, how does that feel in the dressing room, and do you take that onto the court with you?
Yeah, man, because we support. We got a lot of guys who have girlfriends and, like, wives on the team as well. So, like, my wife is playing on the team. Tom's wife is on the team. David Morrell's wife is on the team. So, we're behind them. We want them to continue to win. They got the winning streak going on right now. So, we can watch, like, the first quarter, but then we got to get dressed, and then we come out and get warmed up, and we do our thing, and we see, like, maybe the third and fourth. So, we're behind them, man, and that energy of them. That game was crazy, too, because they had, I think it was LaNisha made a shot, the and one, and then Taze did the and one and the free throw to win the game, which is crazy. So, yeah, man, we do take that energy, and we support them 100%.
And the Flames, obviously, they absolutely brought it to you throughout the night. I don't think there was a lead that got out beyond two possessions throughout the night either way. It was really, really tight throughout the night. So, going into that last quarter when it is still tight, what was the message from David Morrell, and you know, how did you think you were going to, I guess, get over the top, and where did you think you could get the Rockingham Flames?
It was a close game, man. Like, it was like every possession was like, we got to be locked in, because they have some great players on their team, we have some great players on our team, and it came down to the wire. But we've been in those positions a lot this year, like, especially like close fourth quarters, comeback sessions. Like, it's been crazy, but he just told us to lock in, stay calm, do what we do, continue to be aggressive, play for each other, and we came out on top, man. I'm very it was a total team effort, man. It just, my shot was kind of the highlight, but throughout the game everybody stepped up in that game, and I love my teammates and the way they performed as well.
I can imagine. And I sort of spoke to you guys post-game a little bit as well, and kind of ran through, you know, the way you, and you told me you were kind of disappointed with how you'd played the week before against Coburn, and you know, you felt like you really had to, you know, put it all out there on the floor in that first quarter, and it all kind of clicked into gear for you throughout that first quarter. Is that how you were feeling throughout the night, that, you know, you had it early and you felt like it was on for four quarters for you?
Yeah, man, I was a little bit disappointed in just getting those early fouls in the Cougars game, and I was able to come out in the second half and help my team win. But just coming into this game, I knew this was like a big game for us as on KO. It was kind of for that second place spot. Like, it was just kind of it was a big game for us, and I wanted to step up and be there for my team. And I made a declaration in my mind to just come out and just be aggressive, like, from the jump, and just allow my teammates to feed off of that, because I'm one of the leaders on the team, and some of the guys, most of the guys, I would say all the guys somewhat look up to me in some type of way. So I want to kind of be that energy leader for our team as well, and just be aggressive all the time, offensively, defensively, vocally, just everything for my team as much as I can.
Speaking about your involvement with the Joondalup Wolves in general now, because obviously you come across at the start of last season as the import player for Joondalup, and obviously it's a team that goes relatively well throughout the season. There's a bit of success throughout the club. Is that what enticed you to come back for season 2022, and is it somewhere you can envision yourself staying longer term? Because you've played all over the world, obviously college and in Europe and among many other places.
Yeah, man. I love the Joondalup Wolves, bro. Like, they've been really, really good to me. I'm super thankful for our CEO and our board. Also, Andrew Somerville. He gave me the opportunity to be able to come here and be a part of this great organization. I would say they're one of the best in Perth, man, in Australia. It's very professional. But, yeah, I do see myself staying here, man. It's I don't have any complaints. I enjoy it. I love my team. I love our sponsors, our Wolfpack supporters, and it's an incredible environment to be in. And Perth is beautiful too. It reminds me of home. I'm from Panama City, Florida, and the sunshine and good weather and good food, good people, beaches, and it's a good vibe, man. I'm enjoying my time here.
Jonathan, I was going to ask you about a couple of the new recruits to the Wolves this year, CJ Turnage and also Julian Passavo, a couple of quality players who have joined the ranks there. How have you enjoyed their inclusion and gelling with them in season 2022?
Yeah, man, they're elite, man. CJ's an MVP, you know what I mean? Julian's a knockdown shooter and scorer. I feel like we've gelled really well this past season, man, and it's not over yet. We got a couple more games in the regular season and look forward to, you know, taking it as far as we can in the playoffs. But, no, I love those guys, man. We actually had a workout this morning, me and C, and Jules. We always work out, especially in the off season. when he first came in, and I love those guys. Good people to be around and good players as well.
Looking towards this weekend, you're travelling to Belmont Oasis Leisure Centre to take on the Perth Redbacks. We did speak with Tevin Jackson from the Redbacks a little bit earlier on in the show. Have you started your scout for those guys, and what are you expecting from them?
Yeah, we're gonna lock in on them in practice tomorrow, and they're a good team. They're a talented team, so we got to be ready, man. And I feel like we will be ready with Jesse and David. They always have a good game plan for us, so we'll be locked in and ready for them to go out and see if we can get a win for sure up there. So I know they just, I think they beat Geraldton, and I think they beat another team as well. So they're on a little winning streak. So we're going to come up there, and I know they're going to give us their best shot. So we're going to be ready for them.
Well, we're already 13 rounds down, five to go. You, as you alluded to earlier, you find yourself in second place on the ladder. What's your expectation sort of for the run home from here?
Just stay consistent, man. You know what I mean? Continue to work hard. Continue to put the work in. Continue to envision ourselves being on the top. We want to be. It'll be great to be in the number one spot and try to finish out all the rest of the games that we have now with wins, and see what we can do in the playoffs, man. I feel like we have a very talented team, a very well coached team, and I feel like we can do something very, very special this season. So just gonna stay locked in, stay focused, and continue to work hard, and I feel like everything will fall into place, man.
Jonathan Wade, superstar at the Joondalup Wolves. They're currently sitting in second place on the NBL One West ladder. Thanks so much for joining us for a bit of a chat today on the NBL One West radio show.
Yeah, man. Thank you guys for having me, man. I appreciate it.
We really appreciate your time, and good luck from half court if you get in that position again. We know you can do it.
Thanks, man. Appreciate y'all.
Okay, thanks very much.
Cheers, mate.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West. The all-new NBL One West radio show.
Jordan and Brett with you, and this time on the line we're with the head coach of the women's Coburn Cougars, Tyrone Thwaites, a regular friend of the show. Welcome along.
Thank you very much, guys. Appreciate it.
Now, I ran into you at the Vendat Basketball Stadium on the weekend. You're getting ready for your D-League game, but we want to touch on a good Friday night win, a little undermanned, you guys, a little underwomaned, and you managed to get it done over the Hawks.
Yeah, it was a really gritty, pleasing team win is probably the best way to put it. We lost Jessie Edwards late Thursday night to COVID. She trained all week, which made it a little more challenging than had we prepared without her, because she'd obviously been there the whole week, and we know we were coming up against the Hawks team that, you know, despite losing by a chunk the week before, they're not going to let that happen 2 weeks in a row. So we had to be ready to go, and thankfully we managed to grind it out with all the odds down the stretch fully stacked against us.
Good to see another Friday night win for your squad, Ty. I wanted to get just a bit of an overview from your point of view of the season so far, because from the outside looking in, I kind of feel like, you know, sitting fifth position, 8-5 is good, but, you know, I feel like there's a little bit more there in your team, and I guess internal criticism is always, you know, a lot more harsh than external. You can analyze yourselves, you know, to within a degree of your own lives a little bit. What's your take on your team so far this year? Are you happy with the 8-5 record, or do you feel like there's something more there in this group?
It's a really good question. Look, you're never really fully content, and for me to say I would be content with where we are would probably be doing myself, the program, and the girls a disservice. No, we're certainly not content. We know it's a very close women's competition. 1 through probably 7 at the moment is anyone's game, and obviously we play 6 and 7 a little bit later this week. I mean, of our 5 losses, one of those, you know, we led for 39 minutes against Willetton back in round 2, and the rest came against, you know, Joondalup twice and Mandurah once, and we've beaten Mandurah once as well. So I guess 4 of our 5 losses have come against, you know, teams inside the top 4, and we're yet to play Warwick. So, I mean, while we're not content, we certainly know that we can compete, if not beat the best above us. And, you know, that's going to be found out over the last 5-6 weeks of the season. Obviously, with a tough double this weekend, and we've still got Willetton and Warwick to play one more time as well.
So where does the improvement come from when you look at it? Because I also look at, you know, Jessie Edwards' season having an outstanding season. Jewel Williams, when she's been in the side, has been really impactful. Kat Tudor has had a great season as well since stepping in. Where do you see the improvement coming from? Is it about execution, or is it something else?
Probably the defensive end of the floor. In fact, I know it's the defensive end of the floor. On our night, we know we're the best offensive team in the competition. And when it's not our night, we're arguably still, a top four offensive team with the firepower that we have. So, I mean, we've designed the group with four shooters around Jessie at all times. And obviously, took a little bit of a different look on Friday night because Jess wasn't there. But it's got to be the defensive end. And we really took a step in the right direction the last couple of weeks. I mean, even against a Wolves team 2 weeks ago, that game was one of our better defensive performances, but you've got to be locked in for 40 minutes against a team like them. And on the weekend, same goes with Perry Lakes. I mean, we kept them to 15 in the first quarter without a bit of firepower ourselves, and we made sure that we won the glass quite convincingly. In fact, it was actually, by the numbers, our best rebounding game of the season last Friday night, missing, arguably the best rebounder in the competition. So we know it starts and ends with us at the defensive end. And, there's going to be nights where we shoot incredibly well, but there's going to be nights where we don't. And we can't live and die by that. And we have to make sure that when things aren't working quite as well as we'd like, that the defensive end picks up a notch. And that's certainly been our mantra over the back end of the season. And the last few weeks, we've started to see that come to life a little bit.
Talk to us about Jewel Williams, Ty, because she's obviously come from the Kalamunda Eastern Suns program down the hill to you guys at Wally Hagan Stadium and is playing her craft there. Seems to be, runs the play so well when she's in that lineup and really brings her teammates into it. How have you found her fitting into your squad? And has she talked about you about how she's found the change from Kalamunda coming down to Coburn?
Well, look, she's been a Kalamunda kid her whole life. Irrespective, it was always going to be a big change. And she's had different coaches up the hill. But, new club, new culture, new coach, new environment, new teammates, new system. It's always going to be a bit of an adjustment period to begin with. And Jules and I talk quite regularly. And I've known her since she was a pretty young kid coming through the state program. I think when she was coming through the under-16, under-18 state program, I was in charge of the boys program at the time. So I was obviously very familiar with her, as she was coming through the juniors. And when an opportunity presented, we were never going to back away from that. We always felt like we lacked a scoring punch through our guard spot and someone who could create off the bounce and create for themselves and others. And that's what we got in Jewel. I guess her role this year has adapted and changed from what she's done before, because she's been surrounded with so much scoring firepower, which she may not necessarily have had up the hill, that she's had to become more of a distributor. And that's something we've asked of her, and it's been a little bit of a change. She's always been an outstanding passer, but having to do that on a consistent basis has, been a small adjustment. And she's leading the league in assists, and I think she could be leading it by a lot more than she is currently. That's been a bit of a change for her, and one that we think she's adapted to really, really nicely. It's, only going to get better from here. And obviously, we've lost a couple of athletes with Tia Morgan out and Jesney Cooper out as well. So from a guard rotation point of view, she's probably playing a little bit more at the one than we'd planned. This year, we wanted to have her off the ball a little bit as well. She's a very key part of what we do. And when she fouled out with four and a half minutes to go last Friday night, a little bit of panic station set in for me. But to see the rest of the group step up in her absence was equally pleasing on the weekend.
Tyrone Thwaites, head coach of the Coburn Cougars on the women's side. Now, you are, of course, across the whole program down there, so I do want to touch briefly on Carter Skaggs and what he's having for breakfast to help out his shooting, whether I can get some of that action.
He's a hardworking man, Mr. Skaggs. I see him every day when I'm in the office, and he's there for 3-4 hours at a time. He's a guy who works pretty hard on his craft, and that's reflected in, his performances having built over the course of the season. I mean, he came after he graduated college or finished college and then had 12 months off through COVID. So this is his first gig post-college. So he's kind of worked his way into it a little bit, and we've really seen him grow over the last month. He's kind of the guy that if he's not on your team, you kind of love to hate him. He's an entertainer when he's on the floor, and he can probably get on the wrong side of some people on the opposition. But the performance he put in on Friday night was impressive. It was out of this world. It was NBL level. We're really excited to see how the last 6 weeks of the season unfold for him and the team.
Well, pivoting back to your priority at the women's, you've got a double header this coming weekend. It starts with the Lakeside Lightning on the Friday. Have you started your scouts for those ones, and what's your expectations?
Yeah, certainly have. I spent a bit of today doing that, to be honest. Yeah, we only saw Lakeside 2 weeks ago, or maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, and we haven't seen Rockingham since about round 5, which was just as Merrin Cracker arrived into the league. So we know it's a pretty decisive doubleheader for us this weekend and a very important one. You know, we're missing Jessie for a chunk of the week. We get her back on Thursday for training, which is nice ahead of a doubleheader. We know that, you know, we got Lakeside fairly convincingly on our home court last time, but it's very different going over there and playing at their court on a Friday night. I remember as an athlete, you know, playing myself up at Lakeside, it's always tough on a Friday there. So I would expect Blake would have made a couple of adjustments since last time we played them, and I did speak to him on the weekend as well, and it's going to be a fun one on Friday night. And I believe both us, Lakeside and Rockingham, all have doubleheaders this weekend, so we got to back it up the following night against Rockingham, who that was probably the single most disappointing loss for us this year, one we believe we probably should have gotten on their home court, and they played absolutely out of their skin that night. Paddy Brossman had the night of her life, and you know, shot the ball incredibly well and actually got the better of Jessie, which, you know, has happened a couple of times this year, but I don't think Jess, certainly from, you know, her own pride point of view, would want to let that happen 2 times in a row. So it's a really important weekend for us. You know, 2 wins this weekend allows us to stay fully in touch with the top four, and we won't settle for anything less.
We wish you all the best for the weekend. Thanks so much, Tyrone Thwaites, head coach of the Coburn Cougars. We appreciate your time.
Thank you very much, guys. Really appreciate it.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
This is the all-new NBL One West radio show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West. Check the NBL One West radio show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic.
NBL One West radio show coming to a close on this week's edition. A little bit of a look now as we close things out at ladder positions. We've got only 5 rounds to go, Jordan, and things are getting tight in both the women's and the men's competitions.
Yeah, they certainly are, and it's really interesting that bottom half of each top eight is certainly up for grabs. You feel like there's only a couple of teams in each of the divisions that are really well and truly out of it. And yeah, it's just so much intrigue as to who makes it and who doesn't down the stretch.
Let's play a game then. It's called Odd One Out.
You know me. I'm not loving predictions, because my last prediction that came on the show didn't go so well. I said the Rockingham Flames would beat the Centre of Excellence team and beat them really handily, and they lost by 40 plus. So I know there was mitigating circumstances in that, but you know, I'm feeling a little bit gun shy.
I feel like you probably didn't listen to last week's podcast. I did call you out slightly, but the one I called you out on was the one when you said that the Lakeside Lightning were going to lose both of their games that weekend, yeah, and they went on to win their first game and almost win their second game as well. So I didn't hold a grudge for you, because I liked you putting yourself on the line in terms of the prediction. But yeah, even Ben had to have a cheeky dig and say there was a lot of three-pointers from their G League import that game, the Lightning. But anyway,
yes,
back to the topic at hand, the odd one out. So I guess looking at the women's competition at the moment, those sort of towards that bottom section really of the top eight who are probably Lakeside, I'm going to include them in with their 7 wins, but really the Lakeside Lightning, the Goldfield Giants with the 5 wins, the Perry Lakes Hawks with the 5 wins, and then you drop to the East Perth Eagles with the 4 wins. Now, 4 into 2, I suppose. Really, only 2 of those teams are going to be in that top eight, if I'm calculating that correctly. Who have you got your eye on out of that crew
to miss out? Look, I don't think the Eagles are close enough. You know, 4 wins. There's 5 rounds to go. They need to win pretty much win out from here. They need to win at least 4 of their last across this last month to make it. So I think put a line through the East Perth Eagles. The advantage that Lakeside have is that they've got 2 games in hand on the Perry Lakes Hawks, who are currently sitting in 9th position. So that puts them in a good spot, I think, to make sure that they make it. So I'll put them as the one I penciled in. So the last spot is between Goldfields and Perry Lakes. And look, I think it's really tough. I see Perry Lakes as a team that does have some very talented individual players, but for whatever reason it is this year, you know, they've lost a bit of personnel throughout the year, from last season I should say. They haven't been able to put it together on the court throughout the year on a consistent basis. So as much as I, you know, like what the Perry Lakes Hawks do as you know, as an organization, and you know, I know the coaching staff has worked really hard there in some circumstances that they're not quite used to. I think that they've probably just fallen a bit too far back now to make the finals. So I think the last team that makes it is, in their first year of existence, the Goldfields Giants.
What an achievement for them in their inaugural year to at least get into the finals and taste some of that playoff action and start to set that culture for the future.
Absolutely. It'll be a huge boon for them. And you know, that's why, I feel like they managed to sneak their way in there. And, you know, single elimination games to start, you know, to go right through the final series with for an eighth place team when they come in. You just never know. You just never know how far they can go. So, yeah, I'm picking the Giants to fill that second slot. And I know that's, you know, not exactly going off the board. The two teams that are currently in there will stay in there. But I think the games in hand help the Lightning. And then, yeah, the Goldfields Giants, you know, I just feel like they'll ride the crest of that wave and find their way in.
Well, odd one out in the men's then. Mm. Looking at the ladder positions there, Buccaneers, Wolves, Flames, Senators and Giants make up the top five. They're looking pretty safe. Then we start with the 9 wins teams from 6 and below, which includes the likes of the Cougars, the Magic. You drop to the Perry Lakes Hawks and the Perth Redbacks, each on 8 wins, and that essentially takes you down, if my maths is correct, 7, 8, 9 to the 9th position. Mm-hmm. Then you've got quite a bit of a drop off, a couple of games behind the Willetton Tigers, somewhat underachieving in all realistic thoughts this year, 6 and 10 record. And then there's that significant drop off down to the likes of Lakeside, the Eagles and the Suns with 3 wins apiece. So I suppose if we scrape down between the Cougars and the Redbacks, how do you see things sort of falling in those last rounds of the season?
Yeah, look, it's going to be a really fascinating run into to the finals for each of those teams, because you know, you talk about Willetton underperforming. I've felt like the Redbacks are kind of that team as well, and they've had a lot of circumstances around that squad that has given them reason to be inconsistent. They've barely had a consistent squad. We heard from Tevin Jackson earlier in the show that they've barely been able to field the same roster throughout the season on any given night. So you know that's impacted their ability to perform, and they've shown that when they can, that they are a very good side. And you know, at the moment, they're equal on wins with Perry Lakes in 8th position. And, you know, you feel like they've got a shot going down the stretch, you know, to really make it. If we have a look at who they've got coming up on the cards, you know, there is a chance that they can push themselves into that slot. You know, they've got Joondalup this weekend, but then they have Kalamunda. They have a game against Perry Lakes at home to potentially be the game that swings it either way. You know, then they finish out the season, Flames, Warwick and Giants. You know, so they've got a tough run going home. You contrast that with the Perry Lakes Hawks, who come up against Geraldton twice over the next couple of weekends, and Rockingham, but then they have matchups against Lakeside Lightning, Kalamunda Eastern Suns and East Perth Eagles. You know, so you feel like they're 3 wins that they are going to bank. So you feel like the swing game in this season is going to be round 16, Friday night, Perry Lakes against Perth at Belmont Oasis Leisure Centre. That's going to be the swing one. But I feel like given the draw that they have going forward, the Redbacks have left themselves with a bit too much to do to get into that top 8. I feel like the other two are relatively secure. Mandurah are another win or so ahead, and Coburn are another win ahead of that. So I feel like those two are relatively secure. It comes down to Perry Lakes and Perth, and I think the Hawks, just given the opponents they have yet to face, and I know you can only face the opponents that are in front of you, I think they should sneak into that 8th spot, and Perth will sit just outside. And I know I've gone really out of the box with my predictions and say it's going to remain exactly as it is, but the key obviously being that round 16 game between Perth and Perry Lakes. That's going to be massive.
Where it probably is a bit out of the box, though, at the start of the season, looking at the lineups of the Redbacks and the Tigers, if we were talking about both those teams missing the top 8, we would have been really surprised.
Yeah, and you know, obviously Geraldton has been a surprise packet, you know, rocketing themselves up to the top of the standings, and obviously they've had some player personnel that have been available this year that weren't due to COVID reasons last year. That has certainly helped their cause. And the Goldfields Giants in the same boat, you know. They've been able to attract some talent out to the Goldfields, and you know, 11-5 is their record at the moment, so they're secure. You know, I feel like they're both secure. And like the other ones, the Mandurah Magic, for me, you know, they're sitting 7th at the moment. You know, maybe there's a chance that they're the ones that sort of fall out. They're 9-7 as it stands at the moment, and their season, you know, as it comes to a close, I guess they just have to sort of have a middling record for the rest of the year. But you know, they play the Slammers this weekend, they play the Eagles, and then they play the Slammers twice. They finish out the season again, so that's 3 games that they would put in the book and say there's 3 wins right there. And you know, 12 wins, that's almost enough to get you there. You know, and then all they have to do is pick off one of Joondalup, Goldfields or Rockingham, one of those three games, you know, and all of a sudden that's a lock. They're a lock for finals. So I feel like that they can't really move either. Mm. And that's why I feel like it is Perry Lakes against Perth. And yeah, that round 16 matchup, it's 2.5 weeks away, and I'm already looking forward to it because I know how impactful that's going to be on this
pivot
season.
Game for sure, and one to look out for. We're just about out of time here on this week's edition of the NBL One West Radio Show. Thank you once again, Jordan, for joining us.
Thank you as always for having me. It's a pleasure, and I'll have to go get some soothers and rest the voice throughout this week. 12 games of basketball across the past week has certainly drained the vocal cords a little bit, so I might be sitting in silence for a few days.
Well, you're back at it though this weekend, aren't you? And you're on the call for
Warwick against Willetton on Friday night. Should be a beauty at Willetton Basketball Stadium. Always a great place to call as well.
Thanks once again, Jordan. If you'd like to catch anything again, or if you missed any parts of the show, get over to the podcast NBL One West Radio Show on the likes of Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn and Podomatic. This has been the NBL One West Radio Show.
Missed a part of the show or wanting more? Check the NBL One West Radio Show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean and Podomatic. Listen or download in your own time and check out the podcast exclusives for more.